TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand. Vikings fans, get it off your chest and get it on the air. Your comments, questions, your thoughts. Tweet us at Score North or call 651-646-8255. This is Vikings Vent Line.
Garoppolo firing, and it's going to be picked off at the 31-yard line by Eric Kendricks. And he gets tackled at that spot, so it's exactly what the Vikings needed in this situation. Five receivers going out here. Cousins going deep downfield, and adjusting and making the grab is Stephon Diggs for the touchdown.
I think we'll have to make some tough decisions in a lot of areas, not just in the secondary. We've got, again, we're going to have to sit down and, with Rick and Rob and George and sit down and talk about, you know, where we're at with salary cap, where we're at with players, the age of players, the who we feel like are going to be core players for us in the future. You know, we've always done this player evaluation thing with the coaches right after the season, and I just felt like it's not the right time, and we should get away from it so that we're not biased in whatever happened in the last ball game or, you know, the last 2 weeks or whatever it was.
The Vikings Vent Line Coffee Club called to order a one-hour edition on this very chilly Thursday in the Twin Cities. It's Zolgad, it's Danny Cunningham, Manny Hill producing. Declan Goff is in charge of making sure that our ugly mugs get on the stream.
Speak for yourself.
Just accept the fact, man, we're in radio. We're inherently not good-looking people.
I don't know, man. I'm pretty good-looking.
We are on Twitter. We are on Twitch. We are on Facebook. We are in the midst of, although we did take a day yesterday to talk about extensively the Josh Donaldson signing by the Twins, we are back to Vikings today, Vikings Ventline Coffee Club, and we are in the midst of, I think, what we can safely say or call Danny Cunningham fixing the Vikings. And today, I want to start with this question, 651-646-8255, 651-646-8255. Any thoughts that you have on said subject of fixing the Vikings, absolutely fine to chime in with. But I do have a question to start today's show, and that is this. What is the boldest move that you would make if you were Rick Spielman and the Wilfs in the coming months? And it can't be trading Cousins because he can't be traded. You're sort of stuck in, unless you go to Kirk and Kirk says, I want out, which is probably all not going to happen going into the last year of his contract. Danny, and we'll start with you. What is the most realistic but boldest move that probably isn't going to be something that they will do, but you would either consider doing or doing to get this team from being a competitive, good team to maybe opening up another window of opportunity to actually win a Super Bowl?
Joe, this is something that we've talked about a few times over the last couple of days, but Dalvin Cook has played his last game in a Vikings uniform if I'm making these moves here. Dalvin Cook is getting traded this offseason because I don't want to pay Dalvin Cook. And I want to be able to get something for Dalvin Cook.
Mm-hmm.
So Dalvin Cook, you're getting traded, whether that is part of a package to help me move up in the first round to go draft a quarterback, whether that is something else that can be useful to me. Dalvin Cook is gone.
What do you have to get? So what are you targeting with a guy going into to the last year of his contract? So the team that you call and ask about this is obviously going to say that. But we're talking about a relatively young player, effective player, and they will have, if they want him, and obviously if you made the trade, they would have his rights. So what are you asking for back if you're shopping Dalvin Cook?
And speaking of trades real quick, we do have one in the NBA involving the Wolves that just came down, according to Adrian Wojnarowski.
Right, hold on a second here. Wait, let me fire this up. And scene, go ahead.
According to ESPN, the Atlanta Hawks have traded guard Allen Crabbe to Minnesota for Jeff Teague and Travion Graham.
So Jeff Teague goes back?
Jeff Teague goes back to Atlanta.
There goes my write that down prediction I made yesterday.
The kiss of death on write that down. You turned a corner last year, yeah. I thought,
and
at some point.
I will be right back.
Okay, that's fine. So Jeff Teague being traded by the Wolves.
Wow.
Manny, your thoughts, just before we get back to Vikings.
I'm honestly kind of surprised about it, because Danny and I had talked on Raised by Wolves on an episode, I think it might have been Monday's episode that we did, where we were talking about you know, the different trades, you know, with the deadline coming up over the next couple of weeks, you know, what sort of moves could the Wolves make? Is Robert Covington going to be on the block? Yes or no? That sort of thing.
Absolutely.
And we talked about Jeff Teague, and we both, Jay and I both kind of agreed that it would be kind of hard to move Jeff Teague just because of the, I mean, he's in the last year of his deal, obviously, but the $19 million cap hit would be kind of hard to move that. And that it would be more likely. That's why I made the prediction yesterday that it'd be more likely that they wouldn't find a deal for him and they just buy him out after the deadline. But yeah, I mean, Alan Crabb.
That's what I was going to ask you at first blush, just hearing this now for the first time. Is this.
I think it's just kind of
what is
a move.
I was going to say, is this a good trade?
I think it's just a move. Okay. I think it's just a move. I mean, Alan Crabb is. He's making about the same amount of money as Jeff Teague, if I'm not mistaken. He got signed to an offer sheet by, I think it was Brooklyn, I think.
Okay.
A couple of years ago, and yeah.
So I mean, is this just clearing a roster spot, basically, clearing out the team?
Maybe. I think maybe it might be clearing a roster spot to keep one of the two-way guys on or something like that, or maybe that they can sign a two-way guy to a contract for the remainder of the season or that sort of thing, or just call up another G League guy or something like that. It might be just to free up a roster spot. Because, I mean, Alan Crabb, he's going to shoot some threes for you. He might play a little bit of defense for you, but he's just kind of another guy at this point.
When's the last time that, and I'm not saying, Manny Hill, that there was ever a ton of interest in this Wolves team. When's the last time that a team got off to a halfway decent, and you're like, oh, this might be sort of fun start, and went off a cliff this quickly? This is,
yeah,
because, you know, the Wild got off to a bad start and no one was excited. And then they bounced back, and rightfully so. Most people were like, okay, it means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Wild just sort of flatlined the entire 2019-20 season. I feel like with Ryan and Gerson, the Wolves got off to a pretty good start and people were like, oh, this is interesting. And then it was, oh, wait, hold on a second. Wiggins is sick. Now Towns is hurt. Now he's sick. And I really think you'd be hard-pressed to find anybody who cares.
What year was it, and I'm not even speaking from the standpoint of whether or not fans cared or not, but what year was it that the Wild got off to that really good start? Was it the year before they got Parisian Suter? They got off to the really good start, and then they just completely fell apart.
Oh, yeah.
Starting in January.
Yes, yes. They were in first place overall in December of that year, and that might have been a couple years before Zach and Ryan arrived.
And then they ended up winning like six games or something like that
it was
in the
awful.
Last like 30 or something like that.
That's
it was just
a comp.
Terrible.
That's a great comp.
They just completely fell apart.
But at least they carried that, too, into, I believe, December of that year.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I think it was
people
around.
People still cared.
Yeah.
Then. Yeah.
This is just, this might be. Oh, no, it's not.
Yeah. Well, and. Judd, the best player on the team hasn't played in a month.
I counted it up. I think last night was game 16 missed consecutively.
Yeah. 16. He has not played since the night before the Hubbard holiday party, December 13th.
Are you a little bit surprised, before we get back to our Vikings topic, are you a little bit surprised that there doesn't seem to be much about it? Like, if this were New York or Boston, people would be prying by now.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be like, okay.
Like, what's going on?
And I know he's got the sickness. Everyone's got the sickness. Okay,
yeah,
but
the knee for a couple weeks and, yeah.
But, you know, are you just basically, if you're the Wolves, are you bailing on the season? Which, if you are, just say, hey, look, you know, we just.
That's kind of what it feels like.
But he's a superstar. He's a superstar or potential, I should say. He's and it's just like, he's not playing again. It's like, at some point in time, don't you expect to see the old, this is.
I mean,
in fact, you know what? That might be a Zolgad column. That might be a Zolgad. It's time to stir this up. It's time to make some people uncomfortable in this town.
Judd, I told this to Danny the other day. I just want to see Cat back on the floor because it makes the team more entertaining to watch. They're not watchable right now.
Oh, I have consciously decided not to go until he comes back. I'm not going to go watch him without him.
I watched
a little
bit. I
went to the Gophers last night, Manny.
Yeah, I'm sure that was a lot more watchable. Seriously.
Oh, Turl, first of all.
Oh, he's good.
A fantastic player.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic player. Two is, I think we got a little bit fooled because they played a tough non-conference schedule and didn't play great and lost.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was going to be a terrible season.
They might, you know, if they keep this up, they might find themselves in the tournament.
Big Ten might put 10 or 11 teams in this thing, by the way.
They might.
Including the Gophers.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah, I couldn't watch. I watched like 5 minutes of the Wolves game last night. I just couldn't.
So Teague traded to the Atlanta Hawks basically for Crabb.
Teague and Travion Graham to Atlanta for Allen Crabb, yeah.
Okay, so that is the breaking news that just came down and caused our guy Cunningham to have to step away because, of course, his A job is covering the Wolves, so I'm sure he's making some phone calls on that. So
Allen Crabb having a rough season, by the way. But anyway, carry on.
Well, Allen, you know what? Join the club. And I mean that in a literal sense, join the club.
He used
of
to be
seasons.
A really good three-point shooter.
Okay.
Used to be.
All right, so the question I will throw at you now, Manny Hill, and if you are listening and like to chime in, certainly go ahead, 651-646-8255. What is the boldest move or a couple moves that you would make if you were the Vikings that don't involve Cousins, because I think he's staying put. I don't think it's realistic to move him. So what is the boldest thing that you would do to shake this thing up that they probably won't do, but is at least a fun thought to talk about? And Cunningham's was trading Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, that was the one I was thinking.
And I do think that's going to become a problem in the sense that I do think that Dalvin Cook is going to want a new contract. And I don't see, and Doogie on the afternoon show debated this a little bit and said he didn't think so. He thinks that Dalvin will look at Melvin Gordon and not hold out. I think that Dalvin's going to look at the last year of his contract, which, by the way, is a four-year because he's a second-round pick, so there's no fifth-year option. I think Dalvin and his people are going to look at that contract and say, we can't afford to have you playing for that because if you get hurt now, you are done.
Yeah.
Like, if something goes wrong, you are done.
Yeah. I mean, because – and the thing with Zeke's contract is – I mean, it's massive, and it's probably going to cripple the Cowboys a little bit as he starts to get older and start to decline. But Zeke plays, man. He does not miss games unless he's suspended.
Yep. And I still wouldn't pay that position that much.
Oh, totally not. Totally.
But
absolutely.
You're right. Dalvin, the one thing
Dalvin, it's tougher because he's going to miss 2-3 games at least every year, it seems like.
And the one thing that I would tell when Dalvin's people call me or I meet with them at the combine about his contract, the one thing I would say is we know flat out Dalvin's not going to play 16 games. That's a problem.
Yeah.
And here's the other problem.
That might work in the Vikings' favor.
It could, and a credit to Dalvin, but it will be used against him, too, is he won't play 16 games, and there are probably two more in which he'll try to play, but he'll be hurt and not as effective.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Seattle game, that didn't mean a thing. He tried to play, got hurt again, fumbled, Chargers game. He tried to play, got hurt again. Mm-hmm. So now we're down to, you know, let's say 10 games healthy. I can't pay you on that.
Yeah.
Not what you're going to want.
Yeah, I can't do it.
So Dalvin's a good one, but what's another move? I've got a couple in mind. One's a little bit of a long shot because it's a salary cap conundrum, but I think it would be worth exploring and is out there. And one is a very difficult one on the defensive side of the ball, but I think it's the realistic one. Which one do you want me to start with? Two, door one or door two?
Let's go door two.
Okay. Do you consider one of two things at the safety position? Again, another position I consider to be important, but not the cornerback position. I think safety is one, if you can get one really good guy, you can get one guy who's good but doesn't need to be great. Mm-hmm. Right now, to the Vikings' credit, they have two great players there.
Yeah.
Harrison Smith is probably not as good as he was a couple of years ago, but he's still outstanding.
Still one of the best.
Incredibly smart.
Yep.
And beside him is a guy, good for them, that they basically got off the, you know, the scrap heap of football. Anthony Harris, who has turned himself into a phenomenal player. And so when you're looking at those two guys, it's my opinion that you cannot afford to pay both of them. You simply cannot. You can't pay. So Smith, I did the research on this a couple days ago. Smith is due a base salary in 2020 of $8.4 million. His cap hit is 10.8. If you cut him, it's a dead cap hit of $2 million, which is not that much. If he's gone, it saves you $8.8 million, Manny Hill.
Yeah.
Now I'm not advocating doing this, but what I am saying is I can't pay Anthony Harris what he's going to want and also keep Harrison Smith.
You got to make a decision on one of them.
This is so tough because Anthony Harris is going to get better, perhaps, or maintain. I think relatively young. I don't have his age in front of me.
27.
And Harrison and Smith's 30-ish.
I think he's 30. I think he turns 31 this year.
Okay, there's a compelling case to be made then to let Harrison Smith walk.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, here's the one thing.
He's a borderline Hall of Famer, though. That's the tough part.
I know he is. And as much as I want to say, we all love him and he's great and he's the smartest and he's the heartbeat in some ways of that defense. I love all those things about him. Judd, rule of thumb, number one football executive class is don't be loyal.
Yeah.
Don't ever be loyal.
Yeah.
And Anthony Harris has more of a chance to give you great years. And Anthony Harris is another very smart player. Like, you're not dumbing it down with him.
Right.
He's a really smart kid. And he brings the attributes. I cannot, when I need two cornerbacks, Manny Hill, who, by the way, make a lot and deserve it if they're good at it, I cannot in good conscience look at my defensive backfield and have two safeties back there breaking my bank.
Yeah.
Okay, so my
one is fine, but two, yeah.
Two is too many, and so my bold move is Harrison Smith, because if I do, as much as I want to keep him, I can't look at myself and say, well, I let Anthony Harris go and pretty much in the prime of his career because I had to keep Harry.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
I hear you.
651-646-8255, my bold move too, upcoming. But let's go to Rob. Hey, Rob, what's up? You're on the Coffee Club.
Okay, so the other day what I was mad about wasn't that the Vikings lost.
Okay.
It's that there's no hope for the future right now.
We're trying to
there's
give you hope.
There's no hope for being anything other than 8-8. And I think what I would do, because you said you wanted to know what I would do to fix the Vikings the other day.
Absolutely.
I think you got to, if you cut Griffin, Reef, Joseph, and Rhodes, that's $40 million off the salary cap right there, which would give us about $35 million in room because we're under. Okay, I like your idea of trading Harrison Smith because you want to cut him, but I think you could trade him.
Okay.
And I would rather get, even if it's a fifth-round draft pick or whatever, I would rather have something than nothing.
Sure.
And the Patriots do that a lot. They'll take a low-round draft pick for an aging player. And I think, too, I would tell Zimmer, you're not calling the defense next year. And if he says, I'm not going to be here then, I say, fine. And your son's not going to be the defense coordinator. I want someone.
Rob, you are shaking things up with that statement.
Someone fresh.
Yep.
A fresh perspective and someone that will use Anthony Barr next year like he should be used.
Hey Rob. Yep. If you take now I'm not disagreeing with you, but if you take away the power that you just took away from Mike, what's the point of him being coach here?
There isn't. I want to get rid of him, but that's okay. Just an easy way of making it so he doesn't want to be here.
Okay.
And I tell Spielman, you're gonna need someone else. I'd probably move on from him, but and I believe in giving people a choice. It's not like Zimmer's been awful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's like, okay, here's my loyalty. I'll give you the choice. And I'd tell him, you're divisive because I don't ever remember seeing a coach rip their coordinators at halftime. Every time he gets up there and talks about the offense, at some point in time, if he talks long enough, it's the other side of the ball. You know, and you hear Shermer talk about him, and it's like, yeah, it was like stepping back in time going there. I just tell him, you have to either philosophically change. You can still be run first, but I think he controls way too much. And there, you guys have covered it. There were reports a couple of years ago that he was hard to work with.
Right.
He's obviously hard to work with. And I know some of them other coaches and people are too, but if we're ever going to get a quarterback, we have to do this. And my last thing that I would do to shake it up is I'd make it so Cousins didn't even want to be here. I just, whatever I had to do in the media to leak things or whatever, I'd make it so he didn't even want to be here.
Well, Rob, I think that you could basically do that by telling the Cousins camp going into negotiations that you're not going to do a contract beyond 2020. He'll get the hint that way. You don't need to leak things at that point in time. He'll be like, "So you don't want me?" And you'll say, "Nope, we really don't." And that's good. And that's it. And he plays quarterback for you in 2020, and that's it, Rob.
Right, you're right. And there are several players, offensively and defensively, that like you look at like wide receiver. Dallas probably can't afford to keep Cooper and Prescott. So they're going to keep Prescott.
Right.
You know, they're AJ Green's out there, Robbie Anderson, Emmanuel Sanders. I mean, there are a lot of things you could do that, you know, I'm not going to take up any more of your time, but there are a lot of moves you can make with that $48 million. Not a lot, but, you know, four or five solid moves to help you be better if you wanted to be.
Thanks.
And kept Cousins. So
thanks,
have
Rob.
A good day, guys.
Thank you. 651-646-8255, a week of fixing the Vikings. What bold move would you make to help this roster turn things around quickly and go from being a good team to a potential Super Bowl contender? 651-646-8255. Our friend Richard, who is far warmer than us today in Miami. Hi, Richard. Thanks for calling, as always.
Hey, what's up? Yeah, it is warm, but tomorrow's supposed to rain, and we're just supposed to get a cold front on.
Oh, man, what's it going to get down to, Richard? Is it going to get down to 60?
About 50, 60.
Oh,
sounds so miserable.
Richard, I feel for you. You're in my prayers, okay?
Yeah. My bold move is waste all 7 picks on the O-line to fix the O-line, and then turn around and offer the Rams Dalvin Cook for Jalen Ramsey.
I don't know they do that.
Because we know Todd Gurley already, his knee issue, and they're not using him as much.
Right.
And you know they like to use that run game a lot. So Dalvin Cook and maybe a 21 pick, maybe, for Jalen Ramsey. Because we got 3 already future signings at cornerback, so if we sure up one at least, the other one on the practice squad or wherever they're coming from, those future free agents, then I think we should solve that cornerback issue and definitely keep Harrison Smith because he's the fixer, man. Ain't nobody.
But what about Harris then, Richard? Because you cannot keep both of these safeties at the going rate.
I would let Anthony Harris walk because
Anthony Harris is younger, Richard. See that's the problem. I agree at first blush, but the more I think about this, I'm always going to let the veteran walk because in this league, loyalty doesn't pay off.
Yeah. I mean, golly, man. He just, man, whenever we need him, he's good already. But whenever we need him, like they say, to fix something that's, you know, we need a good play, he's always there to do it. And I don't know.
But Harris,
he has 6 picks for the year and he's upcoming superstar. But, man, ain't nothing like Harrison Smith, man. When you need those plays on the edge to be that rusher. And I've never seen them do that with Anthony Harris.
I agree, but I guess my question is this. In a couple of years, do you want to see Anthony Harris making plays for the Tennessee Titans while Harrison Smith is clearly a declining player?
Yeah, I guess.
It's a tough one, man. It's tough.
Yeah, it really is tough between those two, man, because it's like,
Exactly right.
That's it for me.
Thank you, Richard. Take care.
All right, have a good one. Bye.
All right, fixing the Vikings' bold moves, 651-646-8255, Viking Ventline Coffee Club until noon. Oh, all right, let's go to him and find out. John in Manhattan, are you VP of this one or not?
I'm talking Twins. What are you guys talking about?
We're talking about the fact that the Wolves just traded Jeff Teague. Where have you been?
Wait, did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, this is huge news. Wow.
Talk to me about the Knicks, though, because I want to talk about a really well-run NBA franchise. And the Dolans are so good.
Actually, I'm a Nets guy. Me and my guy Jay-Z, we go way back. And
I know we do.
So I've always been a Brooklyn Nets guy.
You big Kyrie guy?
No, huge. And Kyrie, KD, the rest of them. Oh, so many Nets.
Come on.
On my short list of favorite. Yeah, John.
Give me a bold non-Cousins Vikings move. Come on, man. You got to have something. You got to have something up your sleeve. I've got one more. It's going to be tricky.
You know what?
But come on.
Here's my response to the bold move. Anybody that says that any solution to making this team better in the short term would be getting rid of Stephon Diggs that is the dumbest thing I have ever heard. That is And especially the idea that somehow you would get rid of Diggs and then look to find another wide receiver. Stephon Diggs, if he had a competent quarterback, would be a top three wide receiver. Go find the Nick Olsen video from the All 22.
I've seen it.
Burning Richard Sherman.
I saw it.
He's been doing that since 2015. Teddy Bridgewater and him had that little bit of connection, and then he continued to do it. That's why Case Keenum looked so good, is because he could adjust and he could burn guys, and Case would throw it within 5 yards of him and he could make the catch. So getting rid of Diggs for anything other than 8 first-round picks is dumb. That's my first point.
All right.
What would I do?
Yeah, what's your bold move?
On this squad, my bold move right now, and I don't know if it's like that, you know, that bold, I would move on from Bradbury. I would cut my losses, and I would just say, I'm not going to like release him from the team, but he's not my starting center next year. I mean, that's what they've been saying, is basically we need 4 new offensive linemen. I don't think we spend the entire draft on him. If I had to trade a wideout, I would trade Thielen before I would trade Diggs.
You'd get more for Diggs, though.
If you had to trade one.
The issue with Diggs is the cap hit.
Right, but then weather the storm for a year, draft a quarterback this year, have him on a rookie deal, but draft a guy who can actually like take a shot downfield more than, you know, seeing that Diggs has 8 steps on the guy within the first 2 steps.
Yeah.
And give him the ball, or, you know, it's just that's ridiculous. But, you know, RIP Jeff Teague as a Wolf. That's, you know, that's going to take a while to get over. He was my guy. Not Freddie Kitchens and Danny level my guy, but he was my guy.
Okay.
Freddie Kitchens is not my guy.
Listen, Danny, you can only fight it, you know, so long.
Kevin Stefanski is my guy.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, hey, congrats. You found the guy.
Yeah,
I got it. Also, to settle the debate from the top of the show,
yeah,
you guys definitely both are, you know, set for radio, but Manny, on the other hand, Manny is, you know, definitely got the look.
He's a good-looking guy. Manny's a good-looking guy. There's no doubt about it.
Right. So I'm just, you know.
Hey, John. John. Yeah, question, guys, question up? Before you go. If you had the choice,
uh-huh,
and you had a franchise, and I told you the owner had to be Jimmy Haslam or the Dolans, which one do you pick?
Wow. Probably.
I left you speechless, didn't I?
You did, because that's 2 things that I care so little about that I've never even thought about it. But, I would probably go Haslam, honestly.
All right.
Because at least you're going to, like, back your way into OBJ on the squad.
Yeah, that's true. All right, talk to you later. Call back tomorrow. Right. I'll talk to you later. All right. John in Manhattan. Wait, what did you walking through a wind tunnel? You guys hear that? No, I know, but my gosh, he had to be going down a back alley or something with it that windy. Let's go to Texas, where it will not be nearly as windy as my guess. Hey, Jeff in Texas, what's your bold move for the Vikings?
Oh, okay. Well, I tell you what my goal. Oh, let me give a shout out, because I'll tell you what my bold move is not.
Okay.
My bold move is not trading Stephon Diggs. Amen, John in Manhattan. Amen. I won't let you quit president of the coffee club. Somebody called in Monday and
he's vice president. I'm president.
Somebody on Write That Down yesterday said he'll be traded. That way, I'm going to tell you this. 55 years old, born and raised, 18 years in Ortonville, Minnesota, and then I spent 5 years in Chicago. I've been down here in Dallas, do the math, but I am true tried in blood, bleed purple.
Mm-hmm.
If they trade Stephon Diggs, the heart and soul of that effing team, he's the Michael Irvin to the Vikings, as Irvin was to the Cubs. They trade him, I'm done. That would be the dumbest thing ever. And I disagree with John. I wouldn't trade Thielen ever. You got 2 top offenses, and you got them on you got them on good cap deals. And I can tell you, Harrison Smith's going to give him the same deal like Thielen did, like Chan Greenway did. But my bold move is to go get I can't remember her name from a couple days ago. You go get a Taysom Hill, and I say that Taysom Hill. Bring Marcus Mariota in.
Ooh, I don't think that's going to solve your problem.
Not to start. But when you're in second and long and third and long and you need the mobile quarterback, they can shake it up a little bit. Look what the Saints almost did to us. I mean, if they'd have had Taysom Hill more than they had Breeze in, they probably would have beat us.
I think, Jeff, the issue with this team right now is it needs more than that. It needs, because there's still a, I mean, it's not like they're a bad team. The Vikings are a good team. But we're talking about the moves that are actually going to get you to being a competitive, to get you back to where you felt like you were in 2017. So, thanks, Jeff.
Yep.
Appreciate the call. Yeah, I mean, Taysom Hill's a fine guy to bring in on third down and things and plays and trick plays, but we're talking about actually morphing and changing this team. And the one thing about Diggs is don't count on the fact that Diggs is not going to at least privately through back channels go to the Vikings and say, how about you explore that trade again? Something was weird last spring. Keep in mind, something was weird. He did not show up to the OTAs and he said he what, had some house problems or was buying a house? I'm not buying that one.
Yeah.
651-646-8255. What drastic moves, what bold moves would you make to help these Vikings? 651-646-8255.
Vikings Vent Line. Your tweets, your calls. Mondays 10 to noon, Tuesdays through Friday 11 to noon. Vikings Vent Line. Think of it as The View for Vikings talk. No? But if Whoopi Goldberg wants to call in, we'll share it. Vikings Vent Line. On Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Score North download time. I'm Manny Hill, rolling on with Vikings Vent Line here in just a moment. But if you have not heard the news, some breaking Timberwolves news that just broke in the last 20 minutes or so. Jeff Teague, point guard Jeff Teague, is headed to the Atlanta Hawks along with Trevion Graham. And returning it to the Wolves in the trade is guard Allen Crabbe. Allen Crabbe having kind of a rough year with the Hawks, but he does have a history of being a pretty solid three-point shooter, and hopefully he can get back to that that status when he comes to the Wolves. So we'll see how that plays out. But yes, Jeff Teague and Trevion Graham headed to Atlanta. Jeff Teague going back to where his career started, and Allen Crabbe coming back to the Wolves in return for that trade. Danny Cunningham and Dane Moore will be recording a Raised by Wolves later on this afternoon, and I'm certain that they will be discussing this very move. So stay tuned for that. That'll be up on ScoreNorth.com, ScoreNorth mobile app, and yeah, that'll be up certainly later on this afternoon. So stay tuned for that. Now back to Vikings Vent Line. That's your ScoreNorth download.
Thank you, sir. TCL Broadcast Studios, Zolgad Cunningham, who is doing double duty right now, doing both this show and insiding, trying to get some stuff on the Wolves, Jeff Teague trade that Manny just talked about. And I'm sure you could find his work shortly at scorenorth.com as well. Let's go back to the phone lines. A Vikings bold move. Devin, Chris, and Dave have been holding. Let's start with Devin. Hi, Devin.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. How are you?
What's up, D?
Good. So, couple things. I think you have to go ahead and restructure the offensive line. I think they fooled us a couple times this year with playing against teams with not great interior presence. And, you know, you look at when they played the 49ers, they just got manhandled. So I think you got to find a way to try to bolster that, release guys and move on from some of the older guys like Griffin and Reef and Rhodes. And even if you let Trey Waynes walk, I probably wouldn't lose sleep over that. And then also try to get interior pressure. You know, they're removing Danielle Hunter and Griffin inside some games, but I think you need to get another presence in there.
Right.
Just thinking what you guys thought about them.
Thank you. Yes, 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 and yes. Sam Munson said what I thought was a very scary thing to Matthew Collar on Purple Daily yesterday, and it wasn't wrong. But Sam basically started talking about the offensive line, and he said something along the lines of 3/5 of the line probably needs to be replaced, and then he upped it to 4/5. That means Brian O'Neill, and Sam does a lot of work on this stuff. It's not like he's guessing. That means that he considers Brian O'Neill, the right tackle, to be a very serviceable, good, probably ascending player. And after that, he thinks Josh Klein at guard. He thinks Garrett Bradbury at center. He thinks Pat Elflein for sure at left guard. And Riley Reiff at left tackle need to be replaced. And my guess, I didn't ask him this, my guess of the one other guy he might leave alone would be Bradbury, just because he was a rookie and a first-round draft pick. But I did ask about Elflein. He said, no question, he needs to be replaced. So now we're talking about both your guards for sure,
and probably your left tackle, and those guys are hard to find. So just think about that for when we're thinking about the dynamic of the 2020 season and where these Vikings are right now and where they might be going. Think about the fact that a guy who knows football pretty damn well just basically said your entire offensive line with your current quarterback, the construction doesn't work for pass protection.
How do you find all those guys, though?
Don't. That's the problem.
That's
what I'm saying is when we're thinking about 2020, we all might need to take a big step back here and say, are you worried about 2020 or are you worried about developing something beyond that?
And that's why the conversation about going a different direction at quarterback keeps coming up, too, because it's like if you can't fix the offensive line, then you need to get somebody that's a little more athletic that can escape some of that pressure.
651-646-8255. Chris, you're up next on Vikings Vent Line. Welcome to the Coffee Club, Chris.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, how
What's
are you?
What's up, Chris?
Good, how are you guys?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
I would try to convince Cousins to waive the no trade clause, trade him to some team that needs a quarterback, use that pick for either a cornerback or an offensive line, and then try to sign Teddy Bridgewater back.
Thanks, Chris. All right, let me do a little digging here. We talked a couple days ago. I believe it was Manny broached the topic of trading Anthony Barr. And I said, I had forgotten how trades work exactly when it came to cap ramifications. You take on, I've done some research the past couple of days. It looks like you basically take on the dead cap acceleration on a player who you trade. So let's say Cousins said, okay, go ahead, trade me. That's cool. That's fine. I'm just trying to find on Spotrac here what his dead cap would be, because then my understanding is, you would have to take that on, and it would be massive. And that's the problem is, how do you then sign Teddy if you've got dead cap for Kirk Cousins 2020 is $31 million. So the Teddy...
That's if you trade him?
Yeah, because I believe what it is you take on the dead cap acceleration then. So it's just like you, from what I was going through and trying to brush up on this, it's basically as if he has been released. So if you trade him, you take that. And if that's $31 million, you can't sign Teddy again. You're just tied up.
So is
this contract's going to haunt you until it's done.
The team that takes Kirk on, they're paying him.
They're paying him the base salary, but you take on the dead cap. The assumed dead cap goes to you.
That's kind of what I was wondering about.
Okay, well.
That's kind of what I thought,
And if that's the case, right, wrong, indifferent, the fact is the Cousins contract is just going to haunt you through 2020.
You can't move it.
Yeah, exactly right.
You just can't move it.
Dave, welcome to Ventline. Thanks for holding on. How are you?
I'm great, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Can hear you fine.
Yeah, what's on your mind, Dave?
Hey, so, you know, obviously the position that affects the most on the team is quarterback. We've talked about it.
Yes.
So I just have a hard time saying that Kirk Cousins can't succeed. I think it's the organizational structure. So this goes back to Zimmer. And you pigeonholed yourself into a coaching structure that I think is not designed for success in an offensive league, especially now that Kubiak is there. You're never going to get a veteran offensive guy to come in and call plays as offensive coordinator, because anybody that's a veteran that could stay for a while isn't going to coach under Kubiak as his overseer.
Correct.
So all you're going to get is a continued progression of young guys that as soon as they prove themselves are going to move on.
Right, but Dave, the thing here is, as long as you have Kirk, what Kubiak's doing actually gives you the best chance, because if you take Kirk outside his comfort zone, we saw that in 2018. I agree with everything you just said, but you've painted yourself, because of Kirk's presence, into a corner here, because let's say you blow Gary out now and go get a young hotshot OC, Kirk is going to lose it. He's going to freak out. He's going to not know what to do. So the Kubiak thing is almost the security blanket, not for Mike so much as probably for Kirk.
No, I agree that, but I think it's a fundamental flaw to have your head coach be a defensive type of guy. I think that's the issue. As much as I love Zimmer, and he has proven he can put a consistent defensive game plan together,
yep,
I don't think it's enough long term. And as far as Cousins goes, I know it can be debated, and we've talked about it, but yes, he has his limitations, but so did Adrian Peterson, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. He couldn't block to save his life, and he can't catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
He's still going to be a Hall of Famer for just his running ability. Kirk Cousins, if given time, makes every throw anywhere on the field beautifully. And if you roll him out, if it's a designed rollout, and he doesn't have to think about his pocket presence, which we know is terrible,
right?
It shortens his reads and gives him time. But whoever comes in to run the offense and calls the plays has just got to stop asking him to do things he's not good at, just like we would have never asked Adrian Peterson to block or catch the ball.
Now, Dave, you're not wrong again, but the problem there is this. Your offensive line's not good enough to hold up to give Kirk the time to do what you're talking about doing, and that's the fundamental flaw of the construction of the entire offense itself. You never gave Cousins... Cousins basically needs a line that's probably got two guys going to Canton. So the questions now become, how do you fix this as quickly as possible? And the more we talk about this, I think the reality is 2020... if you win 9 games or so, it might be a success because you're not going to. You're just not going. The offensive line, if you really need, ideally, to replace 4/5 of your offensive line, Dave, you're not doing that, and that's the problem. So we're saying the same thing. I think we're talking about the same things. The issues, though, run very deep as far as your personnel goes.
I agree, but I think what I'm trying to get back to is that I don't know if you can do what you need to do with Zimmer as a head coach.
All right.
Zimmer's never going to want to put all the money into the offense.
Fair enough.
He's not going to want to pay a guard, tackle. He's going to want to pay his new 3 technique and his new nose tackle and his new cornerback. So you can't, I agree with you, you can't match up a high-priced offensive line on a Mike Zimmer team. But I just don't think it works.
Thanks, Dave. Great call.
Here's the thing, though. You already have a ton of money invested in your offense. Your quarterback's
just not in the right spot.
Just not in the right spot. Your quarterback's making $28 million. You're paying 2 rock star wide receivers. Kyle Rudolph is not cheap right now.
Who are we supposed to put the blame there for? Well, does that blame go on Zimmer, or does that go on Spielman? Or is it a combination of the two?
I think it's a combination, and I think it has to be shifted to Rick, because Rick spent a lot of time probably not making the right moves for the line.
Yeah.
And it's not all his fault, but it's partially on him. It's got to be. 651-646-8255, 651-646-8255, Viking Vent Line Coffee Club. We go until noon. Chris and Kyle, you will be first out of the gate when we return to Vent Line.
Vikings fans, your comments, questions, your thoughts. Vikings Vent Line. Your tweets, your calls. Mondays 10 to noon, Tuesdays through Friday 11 to noon. Vikings Vent Line on Score North and scorenorth.com.
TCL Broadcast Studios, Vikings Vent Line Coffee Club. We are going for another 10 minutes or so until Score North Live takes over. That will be Rami Makhlouf, yours truly, Danny Cunningham. I'm sure we'll be talking plenty about the news that the Timberwolves have traded Jeff Teague to the Atlanta Hawks. Let's finish up with a couple phone calls here, though. Hey, Chris, you're on Vent Line.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning. How are you today, Chris? Good to hear from
you. Pretty good. Okay, so a couple things. First off, I think most people agree that Cousins, regardless of what anybody says, is not the guy. He's not going to get us the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So he's not the future of this team. But we're stuck with it. But that may not be a terrible thing. Because here's my idea.
Okay.
Let's hear it.
You trade anyone, anything you have to get the Bengals' number one pick. Because at the end of the day, a quarterback is the most important position. And if you don't get a great quarterback, you're not going to the Super Bowl, and nothing else matters.
Chris?
Then you take whatever picks you have left, and you shore up your offensive line to protect him.
I don't think that you have enough to trade for the number one pick in this draft.
You don't think so?
No.
What? Personnel and picks?
Personnel and picks, I don't think it exists.
Yeah, are the Bengals not? I mean, I gotta think that Joe Burrow is just their guy, and they're not even going to listen to offers unless you. I mean, you know, there have been crazy things like with what Mike Ditka did to get Ricky Williams when he gave up his entire draft, I believe, something like that. But yeah, I gotta think the Bengals are saying exactly what you're saying, Chris, which is this is the most important position in football, and we've actually, in their mind, probably have the solution.
Hmm.
And I love the idea.
Let me.
I mean, like, it's worth, like, asking.
Oh, sure. It's worth the phone call. Absolutely.
It's worth a phone call. It's worth trying, at least.
Absolutely is, yeah. Yeah, no, I think that that's a phone call that you have to make. I think you're right on that. I just think the Bengals are going to come back and say that they've saw that in their mind, they aren't going to move that pick because Joe Burrow is going to be the replacement for Andy Dalton. And, of course, if you make that your pick, you know, you're hoping Joe Burrow is your starting quarterback for 8 to 10 years probably.
Yeah.
Good idea, though. I like it. Yeah. Worth a shot. Thanks, Chris. Call back, okay?
Yeah. Have a good day.
All right, take care.
Let me ask you this, Judd. How come Joe Burrow is now all of a sudden assumed as a can't-miss top prospect? We never heard a word about Joe Burrow being an NFL-type prospect until October. And all of a sudden, he's the number one pick and a can't-miss guy. Because
that's the quarterback position.
I don't know that Joe Burrow is worth trading up for. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't know that Joe Burrow is the next Patrick Mahomes. Like, I would pump the brakes on the Joe Burrow hype. I don't know that Joe Burrow is the best quarterback in this draft.
But what's scary about this is we didn't know that Patrick Mahomes was the next Patrick Mahomes until we saw him actually play for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Sure. But I don't even know that Joe Burrow is the best QB in this draft.
This is why I keep telling you that if the medicals come back clean, the Tua idea intrigues me the most.
Yeah.
Because I think you could actually make that trade. It would cost you a ton, but you could make that trade. You probably got to jump the Dolphins. But if you are convinced that this kid now, as we talked about a couple days ago on the show, the injuries do concern me with Tua, but the leadership, the athletic abilities, if healthy, there's a lot of seductive things there quarterback wise.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Manny and Judd. How you guys doing today?
Danny's here to you. Yep.
What's up, Kyle? Sorry. It's okay. I've been quiet today.
been working.
So I have a couple of points to make here. I think it's really Zimmer and Spielman's fault. They drafted linemen that are good for the run game, but not for, you know, a pocket passer like Kirk Cousins. Uh-huh. He's more of a pocket passer. And they need to draft a quarterback this year that can run because that's kind of what the NFL is kind of going to now. And I think to keep up with a lot of, like, the Chiefs and, like, a lot of these good teams, you need to have a quarterback that can move out of the pocket. You need to trade Barr because he has a $50 million contract and he had 1.5 sacks this year. I mean, you're overpaying that guy just because of loyalty. And I think Zimmer, he needs to get rid of this loyalty thing because that's killing the cap of this team because he got Rhodes. He's loyal to Rhodes, you know. He needs to stop that. Then he needs to somehow resign Anthony Harris this offseason. Then you'll see probably Clint Kubiak will be the offensive coordinator.
Kyle, quickly, do you want, but you can't afford, I don't think, to pay Harris and Harrison Smith.
No, you can't.
So which one do you jettison? Harrison Smith?
I would rather keep Harrison Smith, but I know he's getting older now. 30. And Anthony Harris is kind of like the up and coming. But I'd rather take Harrison Smith to have that choice.
I don't know. That's a tough one. I just don't think that you can afford to pay two safeties that much while your cornerback position is disintegrating around you. I think you've got to save some of that cash or a good chunk of that cash for the corners. And so I think you keep one of those safeties, but I think it's got to be just one. I don't think it can be two. I just don't see that because, again, that goes back to if you pay Dalvin Cook. Okay, you're paying this really great player, but he plays a position that's largely disposable. I don't think you need two safeties who are Pro Bowl great players. I think you need one, and then one good one, but does not have to be a break-the-bank type of safety.
Right. And you need to somehow get rid of, you know, Barr's contract to help free up, you know, just a little bit of cap room.
You had your chance last year, Kyle. Thanks
exactly.
for the call. Let's go final call if we have time here. Mr. Manny Hill. Chad, go ahead. You're on Vikings Vent Line. How are you?
Hey, guys. Good. How are you?
Great.
Just more so a question than anything. I'll make it quick. Do you think with today's modern-day defensive lines, you can take a quarterback that takes too long to throw, can't sense pressure, and can't run, and build a competent offensive line around it? And I'm thinking about it. I don't know, even know if it's feasible. But I'll get your guys' thoughts on it.
Thanks, Chad. I think it's easier to probably eventually replace that quarterback than to find. You're just not going to find those five linemen. You're not going to do it. They're hard to find.
You're not going
to
be able to build the Dallas Cowboys offensive line from 1993.
I do want to see them improve that line, by the way. Sure. So this is not a pass to Spielman to say, find another one in the sixth round. But Chad's not wrong. That's the problem.
You said it perfectly. The ideal offensive line for Kirk is if you got two guys headed to Canton.
Can't sense pressure.
Yeah.
Can't sense pressure. Vikings event line is done back at 11 tomorrow. Score North Live. I'm sure we'll be talking plenty of Wolves and Jeff Teague trade next right here. Score North on 1500. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling.